shine alluringly in Winterhalter's portrait, but as their wearer found, they are no substitute for a life well lived.
Daisy Goodwin was reading her essay in the series Listener, They Wore It. And in tomorrow's essay, the critic Michael Bracewell enthuses about a certain suit that's at the same time here on Radio 3 tomorrow night, a quarter to 11.
Radio 3's Verdi 200 celebrations continue with a live performance from the Met of one of Verdi's most popular works, Rigoletto. Some of the greatest moments of all opera, and a new production from the Metropolitan Opera, New York. Hear it live on BBC Radio 3, Saturday night at 6 o'clock.
This is BBC Radio 3. It's 11 o'clock and Max Reinhardt's here with this evening's edition of Late Junction. Max, it's Shrove Tuesday. Is that significant at all?
Hi, Jonathan. I'm afraid to say we are a pancake-free zone tonight. Welcome indeed to Lake Junction. Now, they do say it's the singer, not the song, and sometimes it is. I mean, who would remember Arthur Big Boy Crudup's That's All Right Mama if Elvis hadn't covered it? West Country folk legend Cyril Tawney happily accepted that it was Davy Graham's version of his song, Sally Free and Easy, which made it part of the folk song pantheon. He noted in a very songwriterly way, Davy made it very introspective and brooding, which attracted other singers to perform it. You can generally detect the lineage of the song's performance by how many notes are allotted to the word free. As I wrote it, there was only one note, but Davy and the others nearly all gave it three. Davy also gave it an unmatched calypso swing.
Sally free and easy, that should be her name. Took a sailor's loving for a nursery gave me was not made of stone. Oh, the heart that she gave me was not made of stone. It was sweet and hollow, take the tideway to my burying ground. Sally free and easy, that should be her name. when my body's landed. Hope she dies of shame.
The otherworldly harmonies of Le Mystère de Voix Bulgare, the choir of Bulgarian radio and television, recorded in concert in 1987 in Bremen Cathedral. They sang Come into Leaf, Thou Forest, and let's hope they brought the spring a little closer this year. Their music retains its mysterious power, but unfortunately, or I should say fortunately, it's much easier to get hold of these days. Italian composer Silvano Bussotti found a mysterious power in the harp. He compared the sound to a thread drawn by a mighty needle through a suit of armour, holding it together. Mystified? Surely not. Here's Giovanna Reano performing the Labirinto section of Bussotti's work for solo harp, Labirinti.
마지막으로 정리. 전부 같이 잡소. 선물용으로 이보다 좋은 게 없다. 여러분이 아시다시피 이런 기회에 네 개 하다가 선물대로 신겁니다. 마지막으로 정리에 됩니다. 이제 몇 개 안 남고 전부 같이 잡고 마음이 달라졌어.
아니었어요. 물건 줬고요.
자, 홍당 서가시고 속세는 좌측으로 들어간다. 자, 쉐크랩대. 5,000원짜리 들어. 6,000원짜리 들어갔습니다. 넉장. 올라가시 안전되겠다요. 그런 거야. 무게만 대로 시작한다. 자, 아니었어요. 물건 줬고요. 여기도 안 와. 자, 5,000원짜리 들어. 6,000원짜리 들어갔습니다. 아니었어요. 물건 줬고요. 자, 장동에서 물건을 직접 가져왔습니다. 아쉽고요. 자, 한장 인접을 들어갔습니다. 자, 아니었어요. 물건 줬고요. 5,000원짜리 들어갔고요.
Seoul 1982, composed and created by Japanese experimentalist Kazuo Ihara. He used the sounds of the city of Seoul of 21 years ago. When he made his field recordings, South Korea was still ruled by a military government. Oh, and the traditional percussion group you could hear in the streets was Samul Nori. More from Korea just a little later on. I'm Max Reinhardt. You're listening to Late Junction, and if you want to get in touch, just email late.junction@bbc.co.uk or tweet us at BBC Radio 3. And so, to Bill Evans, vintage 1958. This is Peace, Peace.
Gary?
Yes, sir.
One of my favorites, the song that you do, is it's not quite a song. It's kind of like a sermon in song. And that's Samson and Delilah.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
That's a strong man. You want to talk about him?
Uh-huh.
After him being strong, he was weak, too, boy. I know he was weak. If I had Delilah, she was a woman, she was fine and fair. She had good looks, God knows, and cool black hair. Delilah, she gained no sense of mind. The first she saw this woman at the builder's time. Delilah, she sat down on Samson's knee. Said, tell me where your strength lies, if you please. She spoke so kind, God knows, she talked so fast. Your Samson said, Delilah, you cut off my hair. You can shave my head, clean as my hand, and my skin come at you as any other man. Good book. If I would be where you read about old Samson. From his birth, he was the strongest man that ever had lived on earth. So one day while Samson was walking along, he looked on the ground and saw an old jawbone. He stretched out his arm, God knows it broke like thread. When he got to move, 3,000 dead. Good God, if I had my way. If I had my way, if I had my way in this wicked world, if I had my way, I would die. Well, old Samson and Delilah got in a tank. Samson, he jumped up on the lion's back. So you read about this lion had killed a man with his paws, but Samson got his hand in the lion's jaws. He reared that beast until he killed him dead, and the beast made honey in that lion. If I would. If I had my way, I would. What? Good God.
Yeah. Samson and Delilah by Reverend Gary Davis, recorded at the Newport Folk Festival of 1963, the one where the young Joan Baez brought on a surprise guest artist in the middle of her act, the young Bob Dylan. It was a win-win situation for everybody, as it turned out. For full details of all the tracks I've played tonight, just have a look online at the Lake Junction homepage. That will be tomorrow morning, and there they shall be, along with some useful links. We can't put them up until the programme's over. Prepare yourself now for a long and languorous dally with sumptuous beauty in the company of vibes virtuoso and composer Masayoshi Fujita. Story of Waterfall 1 and 2.
Thank you.
Berlin-based composer and vibraphonic revelation Masayoshi Fujita with The Story of Waterfall 1 and 2. And if you fancy another blissful dip in those meditative waters, you can listen to this programme again online anytime you please over the next 7 days. Just follow the links from the Lake Junction page, which you'll find, of course, amongst the BBC Radio 3 web pages. New music from Salif Keita is always welcome, even though you hope and pray that he continues to explore his Manding roots and doesn't go Salif light on us. Well, even though he's got a suspect amount of guest artists on this CD, fear not. The master has done it again with the astute guidance of Gotam Project's Philippe Cohen-Solal in the producer's chair. Here's the mesmeric Simbi, on which Salif Keita is joined by Bobby McFerrin.
Thank you.
That was song three. Yes, three. A winful track from the December Lake Junction session, which was so productive we couldn't play it all in one programme. It brought together Nils Frahm from Berlin on and inside the piano, Ghost Poet, a London-based musician, singer and producer, and Hailim Kim from South Korea, a virtuoso on tegum or transverse bamboo flute, currently studying in London. And many thanks to Hailim, who went home to Seoul at Christmas and brought me back some CDs. Here's a track from one of them, an album called Jung Chang Kwan's Selection of Records. Jung Chang Kwan, I discover, is vice chairman of the Research Group for Ancient Korean Music. This is Taesung Park playing a bowed zither or ajeng, accompanied and urged on by percussionist Hwan Yong Park on chango or double-headed drum. Chin Yang Cho.
Thank you.
Bit of a sudden ending. Sudden to me, anyway. Chin Yang Cho, the first section of his Ajing Sanjo, performed by Taesung Park on Ajing or Bowed Zither. More bowed instruments now, fiddles this time, played by four women who are all undoubtedly at the cutting-edge Premier League of UK folk music. Liza Carthy, Bella Hardy, Lucy Farrell and Scotland's Kate Young. They're all amazing singers too, of course, and here they are performing an old-time tune which dates back at least to the American Civil War, Greasy Coat. Now, some say the greasy coat is a reference to destitute and dishevelled Confederate soldiers who were hanging about the place at the time. Others, that it's an unwashed sheep's fleece, and then there's a few people who think it's a reference to a condom. If you've got any light to shed on this mystery, tweet us at BBC Radio 3 or email late.junction@bbc.co.uk.
Lesson 1. Basic hip. Basic to hip is the concept of digging, to dig. Mr. Geats Romo, how would you define dig?
Well, you know, man, like when you dig something.
Well, yes, but...
Well, dig, baby. It's like, you know, when you dig some chick or some cat. You know, when you pick up on something, you dig it, you dig?
To dig, then, would mean to like, to understand, or to appreciate.
Dig, it's like... No, it's more like in music, you dig? You know what is a quarter tone? Like you get a note in there between C and C sharp, and that's its own sound, you know? I mean, you can't call it C because it isn't. That's like dig. Dig means dig. Like if you don't dig and you say dig, I dig where you're at. Like on the wrong cat, it's the wrong word, dig.
Ladies and gentlemen, now you begin to see one of our problems with the hip language. Each hip word or phrase carries with it an implication of the speaker's background and his involvement in hip society. In other words, the phrase, I dig, not only means I understand, but I am a special sort of person who understands in a very special way.
Yeah, that is exactly what I said.
In other words, I'm saying I am hip.
Dig yourself, baby. You got a way to go.
My ears, a nine-piece band from Brazil, Graviola, and apologies for the slight glitching on that CD player. That was Rua A from their new album O Preciso de Liquidificador, I need a blender. What they throw into the blender, they tell us, includes pretentious scholarship, cultural garbage, political lyricism and light-hearted sonic experimentation. Well, with that kind of musical attitude, Lake Junction is obviously their home from home. So I'll be dipping into the album some more over the next fortnight. Before that, we were learning How to Speak Hip from a comedy record from the 50s by Del Close and John Brent. And now, sorry about that, pianist Alexei Lubimov and vocalist Natalia Pshenichikova met and hung out with John Cage on his only visit to Moscow in 1988. In fact, Lubimov had been premiering works by Cage and Terry Riley and Ligeti and Stockhausen in the Soviet Union since the late 60s, in spite of the disapproval of the authorities. A dangerous thing to do. Last year, to celebrate Cage's centenary, Alexei and Natalia recorded an album of his pieces, John Cage As It Is. From it, this duet for voice and prepared piano, She Is Asleep. Thank you. The second movement of John Cage's unfinished suite, She Is Asleep, duet for voice and prepared piano, performed by Natalia Pshenichnikova and Alexei Lyubimov. Which brings us almost to the end of Late Junction for tonight. I'm Max Reinhardt, and I'll be back tomorrow at 11 o'clock. I'll leave you tonight with a Christine Hirsch classic, Snowcat. Think Scenes from a Marriage, and just when it seems really desperate, how Gelb turns up with a short but lovely comment on piano. Good night. Thank you.
Hello and welcome to BBC Radio 3 Through the Night with me, Jonathan Swain. William Tell, that hero of Archers and Schoolboys, is also the hero of the opera, which takes up the first 3 hours tonight, Rossini's grand telling of the tale. This performance from the 2011 BBC Proms in the Royal Albert Hall with baritone Michele Pertuzzi as Tell. The conductor is Antonio Pappano, who brought his celebrated orchestra and chorus of the Academy of Santa Cecilia to the Proms after thrilling performances in Rome. Pappano's passionate about William Tell. When he first heard it, he said it was like a thunderbolt, the grand sweep of the music of mountains, of valleys and storms, and the realisation of how much Rossini influenced Verdi. He invented him, Pappano says. So, to Act One of Rossini's William Tell. The year is 1307 and Switzerland is occupied by the Austrians. We're in a small village in the mountains with a triple wedding about to happen. The village elder, Melchtal, urges his own son Arnold to get married, but Arnold is in love with the enemy, the Austrian princess Matilda, he saved from an avalanche. Hunting horns are heard, which means the oppressors are at hand. So Tell stirs up Arnold's patriotic feelings and his own. They swear to defeat the tyrant Governor Gessler. Then, into the midst of the festivities, staggers a huntsman who's killed one of Gessler's men for molesting his daughter. Tell rows him to safety across the stormy lake just as the Austrians arrive. And, in a fury, the Austrians arrest Melchtal and torch the village.